And as we've been hearing this morning, Israel has continued to strike targets in Lebanon, including direct strikes in the capital city, Beirut. 46 people have been killed in the last 24 hours, according to the Lebanese Health Ministry. And I've been getting the latest from Primetime's Fran McNulty, who's in Beirut.
This morning it's assessing the damage of last night, Anya. That strike on that health centre in Beshoura, it has surprised many. It is closer to the city centre than any of the other strikes have been. It is close to the National Parliament. Heretofore, the south of the city was getting hit. It was a Hezbollah stronghold, and everybody expected that would happen. That's why that area was massively evacuated over the past couple of days. But it has surprised many. The strike happened last night. We had arrived at our hotel. You could hear the whoosh of a missile pass. And a couple of seconds later, a loud explosion. It was a cruise missile launched from an Israeli warboat, which is out on the Mediterranean. This is the first time this has happened. Many of the strikes in and around Beirut up to now have been airstrikes. And so this is an intensification of it. This is focusing more in on the city. And it has concerned many people here, because heretofore you felt when you're in the city centre, it was somewhat safer. That has changed now, and there's a tension in the city.
What's the situation for people who can leave, trying to get out?
It's extremely difficult, Anya. What we have in the past 2 days is many governments chartering jets, sending their air forces in to evacuate people. The United States did it yesterday. Around 100 US citizens were evacuated. It's very difficult to get out. There is one airline which is consistently flying. Many airlines cancelling. Many airlines not flying in. Many more, as a result of that, not flying out. So you have huge demand for the remaining flights that are there. There are commercial flights operating. That's a pinch point. When commercial flights stop operating, you're talking about evacuations, governments getting people out. It hasn't quite reached that point yet, but actually, technically, you have a situation where it's virtually impossible to get a flight out of Beirut in the coming week.
And of course, there are many refugees in the city, aren't there, Fran, because they were warned by Israel to flee the south. But if Beirut is under attack, where do people go?
That's the difficulty. You have that 60-kilometre stretch along the border where attacks are continuing, rocket attacks continuing in both directions, it has to be said, Anya. Over 200 rockets fired out of South Lebanon in the past 24 hours. And people are fleeing to Beirut, but many of the large areas, large buildings in the city have been taken up by refugees. And you come here in hope that you are safe, that you escape the intensive bombardments in the south, that you might be somewhat safer in Beirut. But it is proving a difficulty for the administrations and for the government here to try and deal with those demands of all those people on the move.
We were hearing earlier from Ed Heafy in Tel Aviv, and he was talking about a sense in Israel almost that their military tactics, their military aggression in the neighbourhood in a way has given them an advantage, particularly against Hezbollah. But on the other hand, there's concern in the region that this situation could escalate way out of control.
There's no doubt about it. The killing of Nasrallah was a major moment for Israel. This is the man who has been the mastermind of Hezbollah over the past few decades. This is a guy much credited with the effectiveness of Hezbollah in this particular part of the world. Taking him out is massive for Israel, and they are emboldened by it. And the other difficulty you have, Anya, is that heretofore, the US had some level of influence and control with Israel. We know we've seen in the past that wasn't the case in the early 2000s. Now there is no sense that the US has any level of control. Joe Biden saying he doesn't support a strike on nuclear facilities in Iran. Many people fear that means nothing, because Benjamin Netanyahu is going to do exactly what he needs to do, and he doesn't appear to be listening to the US government, their strongest ally. And that is a point of concern, and that is why there are fears as to where this could go. Quite how far it will go, there are varying opinions of.
And of course, Iran has called on the Security Council to meet, but as you say, the situation escalating and getting worse. We're approaching the anniversary of October the 7th. Who can intervene here to stop this, what seems to be, drift towards war?
That's the difficulty. The function of the United Nations is highly in question surrounding this war over the past number of months. It appears to have little, or anything it says has little or no bearing on what Israel is doing. Look at how they have referred to senior officials in the United States, effectively saying they're persona non grata in Israel. That is basically turning your nose to the global institution that deals with trying to keep a lid and trying to maintain peace in the Middle East. And there is no sense that anyone has control of this now, in particular when you see Israel's response to the kind of very open and blatant concerns which the United States is expressing, calling on Israel not to do X, Y, or Z, and they've consistently gone beyond that, and that's a point of concern. When you don't have that level of control that the US had there before, that's a problem in this part of the world.
Fran McNulty there reporting from a tense and nervous Beirut. There'll be more from Fran on Primetime tonight. The time now, just gone 10 to 9.